Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please.
Just a catching strays over here.
You're in for a hell of a show.
Keep the faith. Hold the line and own the libs.
It's time for our main event.
Welcome back to the Ruthless Variety program. I hope everybody had a wonderful Christmas. I know I did. And fellas, this is going to be a special show.
I'm so excited about this.
We have not done this particular show. It's probably going to be an annual tradition.
I think so. I mean, like, looking through, I've kind of heard what folks have been talking about while we're discussing this. So it's the first annual Ruthless Award Show.
Yeah.
And there's going to be so many bangers here, and there's going to be so much debate, hopefully some fighting and shouting.
Yeah, we should have some warfare, internecting battles.
Well, yeah, I think it makes sense, given the season, that we give out some gifts ourselves.
Yeah.
With these
Great
awards.
Point.
Well, these are gifts that we give, and they will come in four categories.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing worst take of the year.
Which is just a tough one.
This is the toughest of all.
A lot of garbage.
This is the one, I think, for all of us that honestly was overwhelming when Wolf put this in front of us. We're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
How do I go back and search the archives on this?
Because
there's so many.
There's a ton of competitors.
I mean, we do it every week in King of the Hill.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God. So anyway, we sorted through a whole bunch of stuff. And I think there's some stuff you haven't heard yet. So that's great category. Comeback Player of the Year. This is somebody in the political space that has been gone for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then came back and is now sort of on the front pages of your newspapers and on top of mind. We're going to do a Rookie of the Year, somebody you probably weren't familiar with, even if they had some kind of a career in the space previously, but now is somebody that, you know, everybody knows, and it's kind of their first year of doing it. And then we've got a Person of the Year, our big award, and that's going to be the most significant person that we think, captured everybody's attention throughout the year.
Millions of Americans earn and use credit card rewards. A few big box retailers want to take those rewards away, rewards we use on groceries and school supplies, the cash back to save on gas and grow our small businesses, and travel miles we use to make memories. The so-called Credit Card Competition Act would eliminate credit card rewards. No more travel miles, no more cash back. When lawmakers help mega retailers line their pockets, we pay for it. Tell your lawmaker to vote no on the big box bill. Visit handsoffmyrewards.com to take action today.
Without further ado, I think we should probably get right into it. What do you think, Wolf? Should we just go ahead and get right going? We'll start with the
worst take of the year.
And we always start this with Duncan. And Dunk's like, give me a little feel for your thought process before you start.
Thought process. Well, I had to put on the moon suit. I had to put on the hazmat suit to go into the bowels of the internet, the sewers, if you will, and trudge through some of the most awful things I have found on the internet. And I think I have found the most horrific thing I've ever seen. Nikki Spaghetti, can we put up graphic 2A?
Oh, it's so bad that we're blurring the name of this individual?
Unblur the name.
We gotta unblur the name.
We are blurring the name and the handle because this person put it up and was had so much ridicule, they deleted their entire account.
Wait, that's how you know it's good. When it's not enough to delete the tweet, you actually have to take the whole account down.
The entire account was taken down. Because this tweet encapsulates not just the fetish that the left has with terrorists, but also some absurd intersectionality that they enjoy. The tweet says, "How many militant groups were founded by a wheelchair user and have another commanding their military operations? Lots of disability representation in Hamas."
I look for in my terrorism is representation.
That's
Michael.
Right. It's like did you ever see the meme of the bomber with the rainbow flag dropping all the bombs?
Yeah.
And it's like, and there's some woman in like a hijab saying like, "It just feels good to be represented." You know, it's like this.
I'm being drone striked by the first woman of color
pilot. Yeah.
Trans pilot of a drone.
And this tweet is that. This tweet is that. It sort of distills down the absurdity of intersectionality.
I can't believe you guys blurred the name.
For folks, I'm an honest man.
No, don't do it.
I believe in the truth.
Don't do it, dude. This person is not a public figure. We are on a podcast that goes out to millions of people. Do not say their name.
I feel like it should be.
No, don't do it.
They're a nominee.
@ Krista Peterso.
Oh, come on.
People spell it, they might get it wrong.
Thank you for doing the people's
work. But it was put up publicly. It was put up publicly, and it doesn't contain any of their information. It doesn't contain, you know, anything that could connect them to it. Hey, they put that out on Twitter. I think if you put it out on Maine, you put it out on Maine.
You put it out, and if it's going to be a nominee.
I mean, we've talked about how, like, we've made fun of, like, the folks who work for Biden who are like, "We will sign anonymously a letter saying that we support Hamas," and we've clowned on them.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
So
we're not going to be, we're not going to perpetuate that.
Exactly. Duncan wants to perpetuate that program. System.
Okay.
I mean, that is a wild.
It is wild. The take itself. Take. Unbelievable.
How many militant groups were founded by a wheelchair user and have another commanding their military operations? Lots of disability representation in Hamas.
Yeah. Really offsets the genocide. You know?
Sure, you get some rapes and you get some beheadings and killing of children, but you know what?
Representation.
Those that people understand the differently abled better than most.
And while I don't want to help Duncan's case, I mean, I think that speaks so much to the problem of the left that, like, this is how crazy they are.
My God. All right, Smug, what do you got?
Okay. My take is short and sweet and simple. Binomics. This White House, this administration, thought this economy is a point of pride.
Mm-hmm.
And they created the term Binomics.
Can we get 9A up on the on the screen?
We have so brand new CNN polling this morning, and those numbers are looking rough for President Biden. Could be a troubling sign for Democrats and the president's hopes for re-election in 2020.
Could be troubling.
Biden's rating sinking to 39%. Nearly 60% of voters think Biden's policies are making the economy worse, and close to 70% of Democrats want somebody else to run for president.
This is an all-time bad take.
Approval rating among Democratic voters, that's slipping from July.
Okay.
I mean, that's an all-timer. We talked about it at the time. We predicted that it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And it turns out entirely right.
And again, you know, along the lines of militant groups, I said this at the time when they rolled out Bidenomics. This is no different than, like, ISIS releasing a tape to, like, take responsibility for murdering a hostage. Like, the Biden administration has effectively murdered the U.S. economy. Murdered energy production.
Right.
They've caused inflation, and they're now, like, spiking the
football. They're like, let me put my name on that real quick.
They're like, we've beheaded the economy. Americans are paying, you know, $11,000 more this year than 2 years ago just to get by. Binomics, spiking the football, worst take of the year.
It's good. A bad take.
It's a good nomination.
You know, it falls in kind of the category, if you like, you can keep it,
yeah,
from Obama, totally, back in the day.
Great callback.
It's like basically the same, same.
Mm-hmm. Like such a bad take, your opponents can then say, this is our platform.
They run a campaign on your stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so here's mine. And if we can pull up graphic number 3A. All right, so just a little bit of background. Dear White Staffers, in the era of the progressive Politico, they've sort of made this popular. It's an anonymous account from staffers on Capitol Hill, non-white staffers on Capitol Hill, decisively progressive, and what they want is people to send them stuff where they can sort of out the happenings on Capitol Hill, right?
Mm.
It's often racial. It's always progressive. It's a little bit crazy. But this is my take of the year. They're responding to a statement from the office of Ben Cardin dismissing the BFer.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys know what I'm talking about, this Aiden Catt, who was in the committee hearing and filmed himself getting BF'd over the dais of a committee hearing.
Yeah.
Right? A decidedly violent act to take upon the United States Senate. And the statement from Ben Cardin was, he's no longer employed by the U.S. Senate. We have no further comment on this personnel matter. Here's their take. What policies of the United States Senate did the staffer even violate that warranted termination?
I mean...
This is very clearly the United States Senate overlooked in their rule books.
There is
Please
no...
do not get bent over a desk in the hearing room in the Senate.
But honestly, all right, let's take it back a half step. So you're just naked walking around in a committee hearing room. No, let's not say it's not the United States Senate. Say you're like an accountant and you just decide to sort of traipse through the lobby of your accounting office buck naked and film it.
I mean, that's the amazing thing. Is like, theoretically, the Capitol Police says they are investigating this because it breaks a number of laws,
yeah,
that apply to basically anywhere you are, let alone inside the U.S. Senate.
But
their take is like, honestly, what did he do wrong?
It is that Seinfeld episode with George Costanza. When he has sex in the office,
oh,
where he's
God.
Like, was that wrong? Was I not supposed
was
to do that?
Not supposed to do that.
It has come to life now.
But he's like, I got cornholed over the dais.
Well, was that inappropriate?
Is that wrong? Is that not something I should do? Anyway, that's my nominee. Wolf, how do you want to handle this? Should we vote on individual categories and announce the winner at this time on the category? Okay, let's announce the winner. We've tallied, and this is, I'm sure, a accounting mechanism that we've used at the Riddless Variety program to decide who is the winner. Very important.
Yeah.
Total integrity.
Yeah, certified by PricewaterhouseCoopers.
PricewaterhouseCoopers. And at this time, we will unveil the winner. The winner is the wheelchair representation.
DEI Hamas supporter.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. That is the absolute worst take of the year. No question about it. We all want representation in our terrorism. And this year, we have found it.
And you know what? Congratulations to the nominees. You know?
I think all the worthy nominees.
Although I'm imagining, you know, kind of like the disgruntled, disturbed man who's like, I'm choosing my terror group I want to join, and they're going through the booklet and they're like, well, this one has representation.
Yeah.
Founded by a wheelchair user. Yeah.
I like terrorism that looks and feels like me.
Yeah. When I plan to blow myself up, I want to make sure there's enough wheelchair ramps. It's just incredible.
What a take, Duncan. Congratulations. We're moving on to the Rookie of the Year. A little bit more serious candidacy from a bunch of different people. And I know there's a lot of people that have come back on the scene here and become big deals that we hadn't heard of before 2023. Duncan, who's your nominee?
Rookie of the Year.
We're doing comeback first, right? Are we doing comeback or are we doing rookie?
You want to do comeback? Let's do comeback.
Okay, we can do comeback.
Comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
So this is somebody who you've heard of that went away for a while, mm-hmm. that came back and is now front and center, and somebody that you can't ignore in today's news at all and has become a big deal, but had a period of time where you didn't hear from him.
I have to go with Tucker Carlson. This is a guy who was unceremoniously fired by Fox News, had the number one show in primetime on cable. Huge name, obviously, to a lot of the people who listen to this show. Getting fired from Fox, you would think would be a real nadir of someone's career. I got to say, Tucker has bounced back in a major way. First, with his new show that he put on Twitter, X, if you will. But now he's announced a new news network. And my hat goes off to him. It's a difficult thing to do. And not only that, but Tucker kept on his entire team from Fox, which, I really think does speak a lot to his character as a boss, that he managed to carry that payroll, out of his own pocket.
So, I mean, I hear all this, but I don't really see this as like a comeback, because it's not like Tucker went anywhere. Like, I don't think there was any
A debate to be had about what constitutes a comeback. And, if you start the year as the number one cable host in America and you end the year as, a significant player, but perhaps not the number one cable host in America, is that a comeback?
I understand the point. And this is going to be a through line through the rest of my nominees for our other categories, but what I think what Tucker has found is something that Glenn Beck found 10 years ago, and that is broadcast is great and social media is great, but ultimately what's most important is your relationship to your audience, mm-hmm. and that's the relationship we have with our audience mm-hmm. here on the Variety program. And you can be on Fox all the time, but that intellectual property is Fox. Mm-hmm. And you can be on Twitter as much as you possibly want, but the distribution mechanism is Twitter.
Okay.
And I think the future of media in this country, especially for conservative media, is audience and the relationship you have with your audience. And so I have a lot of respect for Tucker doing his own news network and, having content there on a subscription model for his viewers. And I think what Glenn Beck saw 10 years ago is what Tucker is seeing now. And I think that's revolutionary.
I get it. Okay. All right. That's your comeback of the year. Smug.
My selection is Nikki Haley. I think there is basically no argument you could make for anyone who has had more significant of a comeback. Could I get clip 7A, please?
But it's a different story in New Hampshire, where former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley has emerged as the closest rival to Trump, now at 29% support to his 44%. Mm. That is up 18 points since our September survey.
Okay, so that in itself was a shocker, because it's starting to build this into, like, is this a two-person race dynamic?
Yeah.
We just now got a poll from St. Allison. She's now at 30.
Yeah.
So this is someone who, it might be
the world
tough
was
to
introduced
remember.
To her as a UN ambassador under President Trump. Many politicos got to know her as a governor of South Carolina. After the UN resignation, mm-hmm. she went away.
And she then even I would argue, like, at the launch of the campaign, sure, everyone knew, okay, this is a serious person. Was polling, I'd describe it as like with the pack, like single digits, whatever. And the conversation was, okay, it's Trump up big. And then you got DeSantis. And then you got like a pack of people who are fighting from it.
But she was sort of in that second tier with like Tim Scott.
Exactly. You're,
like Mike Pence is
well,
like.
Tim Scott was beating her handily when she launched the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And then now at 29 and now in St. Allison, 30%.
Yeah.
In New Hampshire.
That's a great nominee.
That's a comeback.
That's a great nominee. That's a good comeback. No question about it. All right, my nominee, if we can start with clip 8A.
A new twist this morning for the country's most famous political dynasty.
I'm here to declare myself an independent candidate.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who entered the presidential race in April with a long shot bid as a Democratic candidate, now embracing the role as a potential third party spoiler.
The Democrats are frightened that I'm going to...
So this is a dude. This is a dude who, for those of us who've been in the business for a while, was thought of as a left-wing kook, sort of an environmental extremist, who was perennially talked about in terms of appointments to New York, offices that have been vacated. Right when Hillary Clinton left the Senate, he was like the number one guy that should have been appointed for that. He talked about running for attorney general, talked about running for governor, whole bunch of like, anytime he made the news, it was always in the 2000 to 2008 era where you heard a lot about this guy. And then you heard nothing about him at all. All of a sudden he shows up in 2023 and he's in everyone's newspapers, this guy. I mean, look, he may not make a lick of difference in terms of the ultimate outcome of all of these elections in 2024. But in terms of the conversation in 23, hard to argue it wasn't significant.
I mean, it would be a hell of a comeback for the first RFK to survive an election. Because we still haven't.
Wow.
God, that's dark.
We haven't gotten one yet.
That is dark.
And like, that's a lot to shoulder. You know, you got to think about this.
What a
bastard. The CIA or whoever.
Don't put that evil on him.
Sirhan, ladies and gentlemen.
The CIA, or, you know, here's his dad. We know he likes going after Kennedys. There's a lot of problems, but that's a lot to shoulder. So that is, you know, that's a comeback.
But I mean, you have to admit it is a big come. I mean, that's in terms of a comeback.
I think it would only take place in the environment which we find ourselves post-COVID. You know? No, I mean, no, seriously.
Right.
Like
no, because he was a long-time anti-vaxxer. He'd been an anti-vaxxer back. He kind of started the wave of the Tom Cruise stuff back in the day about how all vaccines cause autism.
Wait, Tom Cruise
started
that? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, they were, well.
Wow.
It was all, wasn't it?
I think, like, the difference between, like, a Nikki and an RFK is, like, he's a man who finds himself in the moment that's most attractive. Like, Nikki, in my opinion, had to like do the blocking and tackling to make it her moment.
Mm. Well, let's see. We've tabulated out, and like you said, a very integrity-ridden process.
Yeah, that's right.
Which no one can question the results. Let's go to the winner.
Wow.
And it is, in fact, Nikki Haley.
That's a win for Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley picks up the big win for Comeback Player of the Year for the Ruthless Variety Program. I think that's a good selection. It's hard to argue against it. Regardless of the results of this election, no question, she was on the stage in a big way, left the stage, came back, and is now arguably one of the two or three most important people in politics.
Yeah.
No question.
Huge.
All right, so we'll go to the next one, and that's Rookie of the Year.
Mm.
This is the one where we've all sort of thought about deeply because, you know, look, there's a lot of new freshmen and a lot of stuff going around out there, but there are some people that sort of pop the tape on this one. Duncan, what do you got?
This one was tough for me. As I sort of alluded to earlier, I've had a lot of negative things to say about this nominee, but I'm a fair player.
Well, you're nothing but gracious.
Gracious.
Yeah.
Honest.
Thoughtful.
Fair.
Yeah.
Handsome. With a fantastic beard. Very masculine.
Camera doesn't lie. YouTube subscribe.
Very masculine. Not as great a skin as the guy over here, but right. You know, it's not, everybody can't have everything.
Very high T, which is why I can grow such a fantastic beard.
He did grow that beard in about 6 hours.
That is a fact. Just while we've been on set.
My nominee is Vivek Ramaswamy.
interesting take from the old man.
Yeah.
There is probably no American breathing air who has been more critical of Ramaswamy than the old man, and yet he finds it within himself to award him his Rookie of the Year.
I think it's undeniable. I mean, like, look, this is a guy who kind of came out of nowhere and, you know, published a book, Woke Inc., and sort of thrust himself in the middle of this Republican primary in a major way. And I don't necessarily agree with a lot of the stuff that he's saying, but it's undeniable that he is a new face on the scene with something to say, you know?
I don't want to undermine my own case, but I bet, like, quantitatively, if you did a poll on name ID, I don't think there's anyone in politics who grew their name ID as much as Vivek this year.
Right. That's probably right.
Let's go to clip 3A.
My name's Vivek Ramaswamy, and I speak the truth. There are two genders. Reverse racism is racism. An open border is not a border. Parents determine the education of their children. The nuclear family is the greatest form of governance known to mankind. Capitalism lifts us up from poverty, and the U.S. Constitution is the greatest guarantor of freedom in human history. That's the truth. I'm Vivek Ramaswamy, and I approve this message.
Yeah, and I wish he stuck to that.
Dude, that ad owns.
It owns.
I wish he stuck to that.
It owns. I mean,
that thing was so good.
Dude, that owns.
That's
really,
why when we
really
had him
hard
on the program after he announced, and we were like, dude, I think this guy's going to make a lot of noise.
Well, he's the king of the elevator pitch.
Yeah.
He really is. Well, yeah. You know,
even the soundtrack owned.
I know, everything's good.
I think he's struggled at times beyond that. He's had some moments.
Like 9/11's an inside job? You think that was a setback?
I just
he was just asking questions.
I don't know what he gains from stuff like that, other than a guy who's just
attention.
Moth to a flame.
Yeah.
But it is undeniable.
Oh, it's a good nominee.
Yeah.
What do you got, Smug?
I have the honorable George Santos. Can we get clip 4A, please?
George Santos.
What could we do to get you to go away?
Stop inviting me to your gigs.
So no Dancing with the Stars?
No.
No RuPaul's Drag Race?
I haven't got that invite yet. I'd love to go read a
The lesson is to stop inviting you places.
But you can't. Because people want the content.
Wow.
That's the most Smug nominee in the history.
How perfect is that?
That you should have saved that for Man of the Year. That was like, that was... Are you sure you're not George Santos?
But you need the content, folks. I mean... George Santos is more than a person. He's the zeitgeist of our political moment. He's the indictment on our political system that we have in place. And like, even when he faces what for most people, for most elected officials in the House would be their worst moment of being removed from the House, he's thriving. The dude is like the number one person on Cameo. Had to like, what, I think he 10x'd his rate because he couldn't keep up recording it 24 hours a day. People love the content, and he is like a one-person content factory.
He's like in his public career, not his private life, because you have very different private lives, but he's like the gay Smug in terms of capturing the moment.
And
I mean, it is very, that is such a good. Do you remember the first time we met this dude?
Yes,
we were at the RJC. The we were in Vegas for Republican Jewish College. And we were speaking there, and he was in the green room, and someone introduced us to like, oh, have you met George Santos? And I'm like, I didn't know. I mean, knew he was running in a close race, and it was kind of a shocker that he won. And, you know, we had a nomination. So we're like, oh, yeah, hey, what's going on? And he was like, yeah, he's Jewish, so he should be here. And, you know, he's got all this other stuff going on. Like, this is all good. And I was like, oh, very nice to meet you. And then we had to, like, walk on stage right afterward. And like within a week or 2 weeks, they're like, nah, he's not Jewish.
I mean, that's the thing is, he's like, content is so important, I don't care about the circumstances. Just he's like, do I want to speak at the RJC? Yeah, I'm a Jewish. Didn't he say Jewish?
Jewish.
I 100% agree. He should be a nominee for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
I think more than that being about how good he is, at generating content. It's really a reflection of how pathetic our garbage culture is.
It's a garbage culture.
I don't think you're wrong, Smug. I think it's terrible.
And to me,
you can't.
It is great. It is great that he can look people from the media in the eyes and be like, "But you want it."
Yeah, right.
You want it.
You have to have it.
And to me, this is, you bring up such a tremendous point, because, you know, on a philosophical level, I feel the best way to be critical of a system is to exploit it. And that's what he does in Stripes.
Well, he's certainly shown us.
Real race to the bottom.
Yeah, he's certainly shown us what the bottom of the barrel looks like. No question about that. All right, so my nominee is none other than the governor of North Dakota, Doug Burgum. If we can play clip 5A, please.
North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum.
Before diving into the issues, he made a joke about tearing his ACL playing basketball last night.
And I think I took him a little too literally when they said, go to Milwaukee and break a leg.
When it came to the issues, Governor Burgum said it's much bigger than Bidenomics, saying the economy, energy, and national security are all tied together, saying sanctions on Russian oil makes it cheaper for China to buy.
So if you buy a battery in this country, you buy a solar panel, it's being produced in a plant in China powered by coal, or it's being powered by oil and gas at 20% off, and every farmer in this country would like to buy diesel at 20% off.
So, I mean...
Dude, he nailed it.
Here's the thing. This guy, I'm going to get into the personal side of it in a minute.
Sure.
But this is a human being that we should all try to be like.
Yeah.
This is a guy who was born into the circumstances that he was, that wasn't handed a silver spoon or anything else. He pulled himself up. He became an absolutely magnificent business person. Went back to his home state. Built an entire economy around it.
Yeah.
And was wealthy beyond his wildest dreams. Could have walked away and done anything that he wanted to. Felt like he needed to give back, so he became a governor and began trying to help everyone else out in his state. He's got a wonderful wife, got a great family, and yet he just feels like the need to keep giving. And everyone, when he got into this race, was like, "What are you? Who the hell is this?
Yeah,
like, why are you doing this?" And it was like kind of the Asa Hutchinson reaction, where people were like, "Okay, thanks for putting your name on a ballot. Like, now you can go away and let us talk to this serious people." But he wouldn't do that. He found new and innovative ways to get on a ballot that he shouldn't be on, get on a debate stage that everybody said he couldn't get on. He made himself a national figure, and at one point was polling like third in the state of New Hampshire, and he became a part of that conversation on a personal level. Boyce, when he came on the program and then we met him in Iowa, like, dude.
I love the guy, and I think these two picks sort of hinge on each other. It's like,
dude, that's a yeah.
It's like that Manifest Destiny thing, like which way Western Man.
Yeah,
and it's like, what do we want our party to be? Do we want it to be the George DeSantis's of the world? Or do we want it to be the Doug Burgums of the world?
Duncan and I had a really good conversation
The Smug v. Holmes?
Yeah.
So Duncan and I had this really good conversation of, like, you know, there's all these YouTubes about, like, oh, what's wrong with young men now and whatever. And, like, I saw this video which had kind of an interesting perspective of where they're like, you know, a lot of young guys think they should look like Andrew Tate or act like Andrew Tate or like, you know, some of these dudes on Instagram because they have like cars and most. And this video, and like Duncan and I came to a similar conclusion, the like ultimate Chad in society is like the 50-year-old dude who's been married for like 20 or 30 years, has a family, a good job, takes care of them. And that's
and gives victory. Back, and the people in his community know he gives back,
and
they respect him.
Just like you said, like completely self-made man
from
poverty,
right?
Who goes back, doesn't need to, after he's succeeded, sold his company, built a tech center in his state as governor, he cut debt, right? Revitalized the economy, cut taxes, right? He's banned the pronouns in public schools for kids.
Yeah.
They will not have to face any of that under his watch.
Yeah.
Right? Like and he sent the state's National Guard to the southern border.
Yeah.
Like this guy is like a 5 for 5
right.
first.
But like, he's All-Star. Like, the problem is like, he's not the guy who drives a Lamborghini. He's the guy who maxes out his kid's education account.
That's
you know what I mean?
Totally.
And it's like, nobody sees that on Instagram. And that's the thing we reward in society today, because we have a garbage culture.
Garbage culture.
So I
in
hope
a just world, Burgum would be like 2-time president already, and everyone be like crying out for Burgum.
God, that's such a god. I mean,
it hurts so much.
Just kills. Anyway, that's my nominee. Let's go to the winner for Ruthless Rookie of the Year. It's Ramaswamy.
It is.
It's Ramaswamy.
It is.
And
a searing indictment on our political.
Here we are. Absolutely proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are, to quote or paraphrase Denny Green, who we thought we were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are who we thought they were.
It is. It's true.
But I think pound for pound, in terms of somebody who didn't know the name Ramaswamy at the beginning of the year and now knows it at the end, you're probably, this is probably the right selection.
Just on the analytics.
Yeah, this is probably the right selection. All right, so we're going up to the next category.
It's the big one.
And it's the big one.
This is it.
This is the one. This is the one that we have all been waiting for. It is the person of the year. Old man, who's your person of the year?
My pick is Elon Musk.
Ooh.
Strong.
You've said it yourself, Holmes, that what he did in buying Twitter was the most patriotic thing a billionaire has ever done in this country.
I believe that.
And I think it's true. It's a bastion for free speech now, thanks to him. And it has the media in a tizzy, especially your quote-unquote disinformation reporters who are now over on Threads or Blue Sky or whatever. And so I think that's a service in and of itself.
Yeah, yes. Dude, that right there is extremely patriotic.
Extremely.
But to go back to my earlier segment on Tucker Carlson, I think what we're seeing now is people in positions of power harnessing that power and the community that they've built and disrupting the previous system that had control over them. And for Tucker Carlson, that was, you know, I work at Fox, and if Fox disagrees with me, yeah, they can fire me. And, you know, that's Fox's prerogative. But if I want true autonomy, I have to have a relationship with the audience and do it on a subscription-based model where people can subscribe and I can say whatever I want.
Yeah.
There's not a sleeping giants that can come out and do a boycott of my advertisers.
True
right.
bastards.
Right?
Those
right.
are bastard people.
There's no media that can come attack me and pressure other advertisers to leave.
Right.
We have seen this with Barstool. Yeah. We've seen it with Fox News. And that's what Tucker Carlson sort of alluded to when he is now starting this new broadcast network.
They did it to Daily Wire, and then Daily Wire is like, we'll just make our own products.
Yeah.
And that brings me to the clip here of Elon Musk and the reason why he's my nominee for Person of the Year. Can we play clip 1A?
I hope they stop.
You hope?
Don't advertise.
You don't want them to advertise?
No.
What do you mean?
If somebody's going to try to blackmail me with advertising, blackmail me with money, go f*** yourself.
I love that.
But go f*** yourself. Is that clear? I hope it is. Hey, Bob, if you're in the audience.
That's yes. so rad.
So if you're just listening on audio, that is at a New York Times event with Aaron Ross Sorkin, where Elon Musk is having a conversation and he's shouting out Bob Iger from Disney in the audience.
Yeah.
And he's saying, fucking try me.
Yeah.
Fucking try me.
Right.
That takes balls.
Well,
it takes huge balls.
You have to be the richest man in the world to attempt it.
But what he's doing there is he is disrupting that entire model, right? Mm-hmm. Where, and we've seen this across the entire media and entertainment industrial complex yes. in this country, where the powers that be, the people with the billions of dollars who control everything we think and say and write on the internet, do that through their billions of dollars of advertising.
Correct.
Yeah.
The DEI just cancer.
And he's saying, you don't owe me anymore.
Yeah.
And for that reason, he's my nominee for person.
That's a good nominee. Terrific. That's a good nominee. Smug, what do you got?
For me, this felt like it's the most obvious and true answer. There can be only one person who is person of the year. Can I get clip 2A?
Just 27 days until the Iowa caucuses, voters in early voting states overwhelmingly support Donald Trump. Recent CBS News polling shows the former president has a massive 36-point lead in the Hawkeye state. Governor DeSantis is in second place with a distant 22%.
Beyond just the polls, where he's currently first place, I think, in every state that's been polled, essentially, beyond that, every news cycle, every story, no matter the topic, is a reaction to Trump. It could be, oh, you know, we found a new AI model. What does Trump think about it? How will this affect Trump? Trump tweeted about the new AI. You know, it does not matter what it is. There's no news cycle that can exist. There's no election that can exist. There's no topic that can exist without it being put in the context of Trump. He's like a black hole of attention where all of it is going to get soaked up and taken by him. Just the other night when the Colorado Supreme Court throws Trump off the ballot, every one of his opponents start tweeting about, oh, well, this is unfair for Trump.
Like, it's a good point.
It is unbelievable that one single person,
the gravitational pull,
just can control and command everybody's attention in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I thought about him for my comeback player of the year because of that, because you're entirely right. I mean, he has dominated a news cycle. Time and time again, he does what Donald Trump does. There's no question he's the most consequential person of the year in terms of what the public conversation is. So much of the person of the year is what your interpretation of what a person of the year should be, right?
I agree.
And for mine, I picked somebody you've never heard of, this woman named Rachel Edrey. And the reason I picked her, she is a grandmother, an Israeli, who was in one of the kibbutzes that was attacked by Hamas terrorists. And her home was attacked, and she was hit with the butt of a gun, knocked down, and managed to cajole terrorists into spending time in her house, enough time where she could feed them and give them tea and talk to them long enough where she could buy time for the rest of her village for security forces to come in and eliminate the threat. And if not for this woman, there would be a lot more deaths in her community. But I pick her not just because of her and her single act of heroism, which is monumental, but because she's symbolic of a larger group of people in Israel who did the same, who laid their life down for their countrymen, for their friends and neighbors, to try to fight back against unimaginable horror in that moment. And to me, when you think about persons of the year, you know, Time magazine always does the most significant person. It's like, you know, it's Taylor Swift this year or whatever. And at one point it was like Vladimir Putin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like the name that you talk about the most. For me, it's like, what's the most consequential example of somebody who demonstrates what we ought to be?
Yeah.
And for me this year, it's Rachel Edrey.
I respect it a lot. You know, last week I went to the Capitol to watch all the footage from October 7th.
Yeah.
And thank you to Matt Brooks from RJC, Norm Coleman.
Yeah, I was traveling for a funeral and I couldn't make it. And it as much as I didn't want to see it, I really wanted to be there for it.
Yeah. And I went to the Capitol and watched the unedited, unblurred footage, 45 minutes of the attack on October 7th.
And this is directly from the Hamas GoPros. Like, they were so proud of this. They recorded it themselves.
Yeah, I think the way I described it on Twitter, it was like if you had a found footage horror movie shot from the perspective of the killer. It's like, that's what it was. And then, like, they cheered the whole time. Like, they were very happy with what they were doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I saw horrific things that I can't get out of my brain, that I see when I go to bed at night still. And the idea that someone had the courage in that moment. Mm-hmm. I saw the footage. Yeah. I just saw the footage, right? Like, and it was fucking horrific. Yeah. But the idea that in that moment somebody had the courage to try to buy some time to save their community is, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, that's like
a paragon. It's like
Medal of Honor sort of stuff.
It's stuff that you ought to remember.
Yeah.
Far beyond 2023.
Right.
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 Anyway. All right, Wolf, let's go to the winner. Who's the big winner of the Ruthless Person of the Year? It's her.
Wow.
It's her, Rachel Edrie. This is a...
I was going to bitch about it, but like, I mean, like Duncan said, so, you know, I also got the invite, and I'd read this journalist who had written essentially kind of like a minute-by-minute description of what they saw, and it's just like, it's almost like the gates of hell being opened up to Earth. It's the most horrific, disturbing things that you can imagine, and especially about like how they were just gleefully hunting down kids.
Yeah, that's the weird...
That's different.
That's the weirdest thing in all of it is like you're used to seeing horrific things. What you aren't used to seeing is horrific things happening and people cheering.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So like joyfully and making fun of these kids as they're like, so I couldn't hack it. I'll admit it. I knew I wouldn't be able to hack that. That'd be way too much for me. And so I didn't go see it. I think the world should bear witness to that and believe these horrors that were committed. And the fact that, you know, it's being brushed aside so much is just, I mean, there's no words to describe how terrible that is.
Yeah.
I love that it's our choice because it goes far beyond who popped in 2023. Because it's something in 2025, we'll be doing this program and we'll look back at the previous winners and we'll be like, who was that again? But you'll remember the story.
That's why you come to the Ruthless Variety
program. You remember the story and you remember the courageousness and you remember the plight of humanity that gave rise to this woman and how you know her name. And that's the only reason why anybody does all of this is because you got to fight for humanity. You got to fight against terrorism and all the horrible things on the face of the planet. But like, you know, you got hope springs eternal.
Yeah.
And we're entering 2024. Let's hope that we have never have to revisit anybody like Rachel Edrie ever again.
That's right.
That's a good message for the new year. You know, someone who stood in the face of the worst that humanity has to offer and showed the best.
That's right.
You know, terrific, outstanding winner. Rachel Edrie.
I think we might have done it.
I think so. Absolute banger.
An award show.
Banger of an award show. Gentlemen, congratulations to the winners. All well earned. Thank you so much to our listeners. We love you all so much. That's why we keep the content coming over the holidays. Subscribe on YouTube if you have not yet. So, until next time, minions, keep the faith. Hold the line and own the libs. We'll see you on Thursday. Stay ruthless.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.